Hi, welcome to the Growth Dummy Summary of Grain Brain by Dr. David Perlmutter. Grain Brain is about improving brain health through eating more good fats and less sugars, grains, and processed carbs. Dr. Perlmutter says this diet helped many of his patients lower their weight, blood sugar, inflammation, and cholesterol levels, thereby decreasing their risk for dementia, diabetes, and other chronic diseases. Our top quote from this book is, "My goal is to show you how certain habits reduce inflammation while at the same time enhancing neurogenesis so that rather than destroying brain cells, you are sparking the growth of new ones," end quote. Breads, pastas, and pastries. Who doesn't love them? I sure do. But this book, Grain Brain, written by a prominent doctor, says that eating grain-based foods is causing big trouble for our brains. And not just the bleached white stuff, but even whole grains, which mainstream nutrition now considers quite healthy. No, you can't take my muffins away from me, Dr. Perlmutter. However, there is a silver lining. Grain Brain says we should replace those old carbs with fat. He says certain fats are healthy, like those in avocados, salmon, coconut oil, almonds, meats, olive oil, and more. On top of that, fat tastes good and gives us steady energy throughout the day. Best of all, it's a myth that eating fat makes us fat. So we'll explore these unconventional ideas and many more in this Grain Brain book summary. But first, who is Dr. David Perlmutter? Well, he's a board-certified neurologist who's been studying brain diseases and treating people with them for over 40 years. In 2015, his father, who had been a high-performing neurosurgeon, passed away after a long period with Alzheimer's, and that's a major reason why he's so passionate about spreading teachings to help others improve their own brain health. Dr. Perlmutter has also written 4 New York Times bestselling books, served on the American College of Nutrition Board of Directors, and he's been published many times in peer-reviewed scientific journals. So let's begin with the first big lesson from Grain Brain, which is, 1, avoid grains. For most of human evolution, we ate almost no grains. So today, the average American eats 197 pounds of wheat and other grains every year. Could this be contributing to the skyrocketing rates of obesity in the U.S.? Could it be why rates of diabetes have tripled in the past 40 years? Could it also be partially why people with dementia are now predicted to double in the next 20 years? Dr. Perlmutter says the answer to all these questions is yes. And he goes as far as to say, quote, "Modern grains are silently destroying your brain," end quote. And by grains, he means not just the white flours that are generally seen as unhealthy, but all types of whole grains too. And to understand why grains are bad, we must look at human evolution. You see, for most of the last 3 million years of human existence, we were hunter-gatherers. This means we ate whatever we could hunt or pick in the wild, like nuts, fish, vegetables, animals, fruits, berries, etc. Farming is a relatively new invention. Most historians believe it was only around 12,000 years ago that humans began setting up permanent farms and that grains became a significant source of calories. Ancient hunter-gatherers may have eaten a few wild grains occasionally, but it was a relatively tiny part of their diet. So the bottom line is that evolution happens very slowly, and after millions of years of eating one way, 12,000 years is simply too short of a time for our bodies to fully adapt to eating this new way. Yes, we can digest cooked grains, but Dr. Perlmutter says it comes at the cost of many side effects, such as inflammation and higher risk for chronic diseases. And by the way, in the recent best-selling book Sapiens, the historian Yuval Noah Harari paints a very dark picture of the agricultural revolution, calling it history's biggest fraud. You see, humans became farmers because they expected to get more food stability and security, but what really happened is they got worse nutrition, famines, diseases, and longer work hours. It was only thousands of years later were these downsides overcome through technological progress, so today we can see agriculture through rose-colored glasses as a good thing. You can read more about human history from the very beginning in our book summary of Sapiens by Yuval Noah Harari. Okay, in summary of this first lesson, for over 3 million years, humans were hunter-gatherers, eating very few grains. Agriculture only began 12,000 years ago, but today the average American eats 197 pounds of grain per year. Our bodies are simply not designed to run optimally on so many grains. Now lesson 2. Extinguish inflammation. It lies at the center of many brain diseases. Inflammation is our body's natural response to some kind of damage or stress. For example, if you burn your hand, then the skin will turn red and get inflamed while it's healing. Dr. Perlmutter teaches that most people suffer from a low-level chronic inflammation inside our bodies. This inflammation is a big element in the rise of chronic diseases in developed countries, including brain disorders. You see, in our bodies, you can check for inflammation by measuring the inflammatory cytokines. One way is through a blood test that checks for C-reactive protein, a marker of inflammation. So why is inflammation so important? Well, studies show people with brain diseases like Alzheimer's and Parkinson's have much higher levels of these inflammatory cytokines. Also, higher levels of these markers in the blood in middle age are associated with smaller brain volume later in life. And finally, inflammatory cytokines can also fuel depression and anxiety because they block the production of serotonin, a critical mood-related neurotransmitter. So, in summary, chronic inflammation is an element in many brain disorders, which are often marked by higher levels of inflammatory cytokines in the body. Inflammation can be measured by checking C-reactive protein levels in a blood test. Now, lesson 3. Avoid gluten. It plays a big role in inflammation. Here we have a quote from Grain Brain. Researchers have known for some time now that the cornerstone of all degenerative conditions, including brain disorders, is inflammation. But what they hadn't documented until now are the instigators of that inflammation, the first missteps that prompt this deadly reaction. And what they are finding is that gluten and a high carbohydrate diet, for that matter, are among the most prominent stimulators of inflammatory pathways that reach the brain. End quote. Gluten is the name for some of the proteins found in grains like wheat, barley, rye, etc. Gluten holds flour together in a sticky way and helps make bread products chewy. Gluten can also be found in products you wouldn't expect, like barbecue sauce, granola bars, beer, and many other processed foods. So how does gluten stimulate inflammation? First, anti-gliadin antibodies. So gluten is made of two groups of proteins, glutenins and gliadins. Let's focus on the gliadins first. After someone eats gluten, their immune system creates anti-gliadin antibodies, which then cause inflammatory cytokine chemicals to form, which damage the brain. And the second way gluten stimulates inflammation is through intestinal permeability. A 2015 study by Harvard's Dr. Vaseno also found that gliadin exposure increases this intestinal permeability. This condition, which is also called leaky gut, happens when compounds leak from the gut into the bloodstream, and it causes also inflammation. Leaky gut is seen in most autoimmune diseases, including inflammatory bowel disease, rheumatoid arthritis, and multiple sclerosis. When speaking of gluten, a common objection you might hear is that only a few people with celiac disease are medically sensitive to gluten. However, Dr. Perlmutter says most people are affected by gluten, but you have to look at the science not from a digestive viewpoint, but a neurological one. And he says this gluten sensitivity is not felt immediately like in celiac disease, but it does play a role in dementia, headaches, depression, and other brain disorders. In summary, gluten stimulates inflammation through provoking anti-gliadin antibodies and increasing leaky gut. Dr. Perlmutter says this is true even in people who don't have celiac disease. Now we have lesson 4, lower blood sugar. It can help you avoid obesity, diabetes, and cognitive decline. There seems to be a link between obesity, diabetes, and cognitive decline. Perhaps all of them come from the same root cause. For example, people who are obese are more likely to experience cognitive decline. Also, having diabetes makes someone twice as likely to develop Alzheimer's. This has led part of the medical community to say Alzheimer's may be best described as a type 3 diabetes. So usually when we eat food, our body turns it into sugar or glucose and releases that into our bloodstream. Then our pancreas makes a hormone called insulin, which signals our cells to allow the glucose inside of them. However, if our body doesn't make enough insulin, or if our cells don't respond to insulin, then too much glucose remains in our bloodstream, and this can be very damaging to our body over the long term, leading to blindness, infections, and cognitive decline. This condition is named diabetes. So about 95% of people with diabetes have type 2 diabetes, which develops over many years and is usually diagnosed in adulthood. It can be largely prevented through lifestyle choices like exercise, diet, and not being overweight. Obese people almost always have high blood sugar. However, many people who are not obese or diabetic also have high blood sugar, and it also has a destructive effect on their brain health. Beyond that, Dr. Perlmutter says, even if our blood sugar levels look normal, our body may simply be working overtime to keep those glucose levels down. And that's why it's important to get a fasting insulin test, because it can provide an early warning sign. Here's another quote from the book. In one particularly disturbing longitudinal study from 2018, following more than 5,000 people over 10 years, their rate of cognitive decline, regardless of whether or not they were diabetic, hinged on blood sugar levels. The higher the blood sugar, the faster the cognitive decline, regardless of being diabetic or not. End quote. So the best way to avoid at least those short-term spikes in blood sugar is to eat less super-processed foods, especially those high in carbohydrates. All carbohydrates are chains of sugar molecules, that's what they are, but some of them are healthier than others because some foods raise blood sugar more than others. Luckily, doctors have created the glycemic index, which ranks foods on a scale from 1 to 100 based on how much they increase our blood sugar after consumption. The lower, the better. Foods with a lot of added sugar and refined carbohydrates, they tend to have the highest scores, while green vegetables, meats, and fish have very low scores because they contain few or no carbs. Now, some vegetables and whole fruits contain carbohydrates, but they come together with fiber, which slows the digestion and so dampens the blood sugar impact. On the other hand, fruit juice, which has all the fiber stripped out of it, is like drinking Coke in its impact to your short-term blood sugar and insulin response. And whole wheat bread, commonly seen as healthy, raises blood sugar more than a Snickers bar. In summary, chronically high blood sugar is linked with obesity, diabetes, and Alzheimer's. We should avoid eating foods which spike blood sugar, those which have a high glycemic index. This includes highly processed carbs and sugars, but also many foods considered healthy like fruit juice and whole wheat bread. Now lesson 4, eat good fats, those found in olive oil, nuts, fish, avocados, etc. For decades, we've been hearing that low-fat foods are healthy and that eating fat will make you fat. Dr. Perlmutter says these are both myths, and that the health recommendations are slowly catching up to the science, which says that fat is fine. A recent study in the Journal of the American Medical Association found that people actually lost slightly more weight on a healthy low-carb diet than on a healthy low-fat diet. However, it's important to eat only the good healthy fats and not the bad fats, which can be very damaging to our health. The bad fats include trans fats and other commercially modified fats and oils. Ironically, products that were promoted as new healthier options yesterday, like margarine and vegetable shortenings, they contain these very bad fats. Fortunately, trans fats are now banned in the US and many other countries. Another bad fat is omega-6, which is believed to encourage inflammation because it contains higher amounts of linoleic acid. These are found in vegetable oils, including sunflower, cottonseed, corn, soybean, and peanut oils. Now, the healthy fats include, first, monounsaturated fats found in olive oil, avocados, almonds, and other nuts and seeds. Second, omega-3 polyunsaturated fats. Many studies have found that people who consume fish and omega-3 oils have lower risk for dementia and Alzheimer's disease. It's found in salmon, sardines, other fish, flax seeds, and walnuts. Multiple studies have shown that the Mediterranean diet, which is rich in extra virgin olive oil, fish, nuts, appears to be the best for reducing cognitive decline. People eating this diet were found to have a 30% lower risk of heart disease and stroke. In a large 2013 study in the New England Journal of Medicine, Dr. Perlmutter says his food recommendations are very similar to the Mediterranean diet, but excluding a few foods like whole grains. Okay, and the final healthy fat is saturated fat. This is found in red meat, chicken, egg yolks, and full-fat dairy products, coconut oil, etc. Be aware that this view of saturated fat is controversial in the dietary community. Most doctors would probably still recommend to limit saturated fat intake, believing it increases bad LDL cholesterol. For example, in the book How Not to Die by Dr. Michael Greger, he offers a great counter-argument to the grain brain arguments. Dr. Greger is a big promoter of eating a whole food plant-based diet that contains minimal meat and animal products, and he says the longest living people in the world do consume unrefined grains and whole plant food starches. So if you want to learn more about that other perspective, read our summary of How Not to Die by Dr. Michael Greger. In summary, Dr. Perlmutter says that it's a myth that fat is unhealthy or that it makes us fat. However, we must consume the good fats like olive oil, avocados, nuts, seeds, and fish. He also believes saturated fats found in meats and dairy are not unhealthy, but you should avoid bad fats like trans fats and highly processed foods and commercial vegetable oils. Now, lesson 5. Eat cholesterol. It is actually good for brain health and longevity. For many years, mainstream health advice has told us that eating cholesterol leads to heart disease. This is known as the lipid hypothesis. Dr. Perlmutter says this belief is not true, and the number of studies that contradict the lipid hypothesis outnumber the studies that support it. In the book, Dr. Perlmutter comments on a 1994 JAMA study on cholesterol done by Yale researchers that found, quote, people with low cholesterol had as many heart attacks and died just as frequently as those with high total cholesterol. And reviews of multiple large studies have routinely failed to find correlation between cholesterol levels and heart disease, end quote. On the other hand, high cholesterol does seem to reduce risk for brain diseases. The brain contains more cholesterol than any other part of the body, and cholesterol helps the brain fulfill many functions. Plus, higher cholesterol levels are associated with living longer. On top of that, about 80% of our blood cholesterol is produced in our bodies. Only about 20% comes from the food we eat. This means eating more dietary cholesterol simply causes our body to produce less of its own. And Dr. Perlmutter says this is the reason why his patients who had been diagnosed with high cholesterol can then follow his diet and eat more cholesterol in their foods while at the same time lowering the cholesterol in their bloods to normal. So he believes the whole focus on dietary cholesterol is misplaced because the most important steps to reduce heart attack risk include getting more exercise and not smoking, drinking alcohol, or being overweight. The real problem, he says, is oxidized LDL. So cholesterol is considered unhealthy because it is thought to increase levels of LDL, which is known as the bad cholesterol. LDL is short for low-density lipoprotein. It carries cholesterol to the brain. Dr. Perlmutter says the truth is that on its own, LDL is not bad. The real problem is oxidized LDL, which is a major factor in the development of atherosclerosis. This oxidization happens when the LDL molecule becomes damaged and is no longer able to carry cholesterol to the brain. So eating a high carbohydrate diet greatly increases oxidized LDL because there is a greater presence of sugar molecules in your body. Here's a quote. Sugar molecules attach themselves to LDL and change the molecule's shape, rendering it less useful while increasing free radical production. End quote. Now let's talk about glycation and aging. Glycation is when sugar attaches to protein or fat molecules in your body. When LDL is glycated, then it is far more likely to be oxidized. Well, eating more carbs and sugar greatly increases glycation in your body. In particular, high fructose corn syrup increases the rate of glycation by 10 times. And this also leads to increased production of what are called advanced glycation end products, which are a big factor in aging and other degenerative diseases. Now, you can check your levels of glycated proteins through a hemoglobin A1C test. Higher levels of this are a documented risk factor for diabetes, stroke, coronary heart disease, and more. In summary, eating moderate amounts of cholesterol does not lead to higher blood cholesterol because 80% of it is produced in our bodies. So the real health risk is oxidized LDL, which is caused by eating carbs and sugars. Also, especially high fructose corn syrup can greatly increase glycation, which leads to more of this oxidized LDL. Now lesson 6, stimulate BDNF. It helps you fight cognitive aging. BDNF, which is short for brain-derived neurotrophic factor, is a protein that protects existing neurons and helps create new ones in your brain. In a study from Boston University of 2,100 older people, they found those with the highest BDNF levels had half the risk of dementia. Higher levels of BDNF are now seen to be a marker of being resistant to future cognitive decline. So how can we get more of this BDNF? You have to activate your genes that regulate it. That's right. Scientists are discovering the line between genetics and lifestyle choices is more blurred than we once believed. Epigenetics is the new science of how our daily environment and lifestyle can actually change how our genes express themselves, even turning certain genes on and off. So, and this is how we can get more BDNF. Here's a quote. The gene that turns on BDNF is activated by a variety of lifestyle habits, including physical exercise, caloric restriction following a ketogenic diet, and the addition of certain nutrients like curcumin and the omega-3 fat DHA. End quote. Let's quickly run through these recommendations. Exercise. You should try to exercise at least 45 to 60 minutes on most days. In the largest neurology journal, exercise was the only meaningful recommendation they could offer to reduce mild cognitive impairment in older people. Not only does it turn on genes for BDNF, it also lowers inflammation, increases insulin sensitivity, and leads to a larger hippocampus memory region of the brain. Okay, next, caloric restriction. Do this through simply eating less or intermittent fasting. They found animals eating 30% fewer calories showed much greater BDNF production and improvements in cognitive performance. Next, ketogenic diet. This is when you eat very low carbs and high fat, particularly ketogenic fats like coconut oil and MCT oil, and this causes your brain to switch from burning glucose for energy to burning something called ketones. A 2012 study by the University of Cincinnati showed this state increases memory performance while at the same time helping lower weight, blood sugar, and insulin levels. Curcumin, this is the next one. Curcumin is the active ingredient in turmeric, usually consumed as a dried spice, which gives curries their orange color. And the final way to increase BDNF is omega-3 fat DHA. Many studies have also shown a correlation between higher DHA levels and larger brain volume. In summary, people with higher levels of BDNF, brain-derived neurotrophic factor, appear to have a much lower risk for cognitive decline and Alzheimer's. You can increase your levels of BDNF through exercise, eating less or fasting, ketogenic diet, eating curcumin, and omega-3 fat DHA. Now lesson 7, get sleep. Not enough sleep causes overeating and poor health. Dr. Perlmutter spends a whole chapter in his book describing the incredible benefits of good sleep for controlling appetite, boosting your immunity, and increasing memory. Moreover, sleep deprivation influences the hormones leptin, ghrelin, and GLP-1, which leads to overeating. A couple basic tips to get better sleep include: go to sleep and wake up at the same time each night. This leads to better sleeping habits. And get between 7 to 9 hours of sleep. Too little sleep is not good, but too much is also not good either. It can be a marker of cognitive decline. And if you want to learn more about sleep, the best book is probably Why We Sleep by Matthew Walker. He's a professor at Stanford who's been researching sleep for over 20 years. In his book, Walker writes that routinely sleeping less than 6 or 7 hours a night demolishes your immune system, more than doubling your risk of cancer. End quote. Yet, two-thirds of people in developed countries fail to get that minimum amount of sleep daily. So you can learn more about sleep, how to get better sleep, in our summary of Why We Sleep by Matthew Walker. Okay, and in summary of this lesson, sleep deprivation increases levels of the hormones leptin, ghrelin, and GLP-1, which causes overeating. Lack of sleep also has many other negative health effects. Try to get between 7 to 9 hours of sleep each night, and you will boost your immune system and memory. Okay, and finally, we have lesson 8, clear your kitchen. Here's what to eat and what to throw away. So throughout this book, Dr. Perlmutter has been hinting about what we should be eating and avoiding, and now in part 3, he provides a detailed list to follow. Here's a very highly shortened version of his recommendations. And of course, if you like what you're hearing in this summary, you can buy his book. You'll get a much more detailed list of what foods you can eat and not eat, and including tons of interesting looking recipes you can follow. Okay, so first is what not to eat. Don't eat gluten, processed carbs and sugars, bad cooking oils, including soy, corn, canola, peanut, etc., starchy vegetables, and artificial sweeteners. Now here's what you should eat. Eat more of healthy fats, including extra virgin olive oil, coconuts and coconut oil, avocados and avocado oil, grass-fed butter and other dairies, grass-fed cheese, seeds, nuts and nut butters. Eat more vegetables, including old leafy greens, broccoli, green beans, mushrooms, onions, and too many others to list. Probably includes most vegetables. Eat more proteins, eggs, wild fish, shellfish, grass-fed meat, including beef, chicken, pork, etc. Eat more fruits with low sugar, including tomatoes, bell peppers, lemons, etc. And eat more herbs, seasonings, and condiments, as long as they don't have gluten, sugar, and soy. Okay, and Dr. Perlmutter has a third category, which is what you can eat in moderation, like a small amount every day or a couple times a week. So you can eat some dairy, legumes, non-gluten grains, sweet fruit, sweeteners, dark chocolate, and wine. And finally, he mentioned some supplements we can take. You can take some supplements, including 1,000 milligrams DHA, which is omega-3 fat from fish oil or algae. Take a tablespoon of MCT oil or 2 tablespoons of coconut oil. He recommends 5,000 IUs of vitamin D3, plus some other supplements, including B-complex vitamins, probiotics, turmeric, and whole coffee fruit concentrate. And we don't have time in this summary to get into all the details, but these are all worth researching or picking up the whole book to learn more about. Okay, so in summary, Dr. Perlmutter says we should eat lots of green vegetables and most other vegetables, meat, fish, and eggs, low-sugar fruits, and healthy fats, lots of these fats, including nuts, olives, olive oil, coconuts, and avocado oils. He recommends throwing out most processed foods, especially if they contain gluten. Okay, so here's a quick conclusion. There's so much to think about after reading this book. Although not all of Dr. Perlmutter's recommendations fit with the most popular health advice right now, it does seem that over the past several years, the more popular health advice has been moving closer to what his books have been recommending. And if you feel overwhelmed that all the foods you may need to quit eating, then keep in mind Dr. Perlmutter also says that we should try to eat this way at least 90% of the time. So don't stress too much about the other 10% of the time. Okay, and I'll see you in the next book summary.